episode 305, How to Know It's Time to Take a Break.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the daily edition of the Trig Podcast of Joy at Gozo TV, here with my gozo bell, my gozo hat, my gozo mug. Let me see how today's coffee of the day is tasting. Let's see. Oh, man, that is some good, good gozo coffee. By the way, if you want to get one of your own gozo mugs, go to davidtrigg.com/shop. davidtrigg.com/shop to the store on my website and get your own gozo mug. This day I want to talk to you about on this beautiful Monday here, September 17th, how to know when it's time to take a break. You know, all of us want to just keep going, right? Go, 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 go. Are you just like me? You wake up with a million ideas, wanting to change the world, help people, and just accomplish your dreams. But sometimes you get to a place where you know something is wrong. Something is telling you that you may need to take a step back. God says in His Word, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted upon the earth. I also love the other one that says, cease striving and know that I am God. It's the same one, but it's just a little different version. Cease striving, be still. God wants you and me to ask the question, is this a good time to take a break? And let me tell you that unless life sometimes hits you between the eyes, most of us, if you're like me, we don't stop. By the way, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. But I did have a little bit of an injury. I was working out and I hurt myself somehow. And I'm not sure exactly. I think I know how and what happened. But that's not really the issue. The issue has been these last, I don't know, few days, is that when I injured myself, then my mind began to just go to places of anxiety, panic, catastrophizing, all the stuff that really I haven't dealt with, honestly, in years, maybe. I mean, at least, I don't know, many months. But when that happened to me, it made me realize that it's time for me to take a break. And so it got me thinking about how to do that. So I've taken some steps just even this week to manage and to rest and to take a little bit of a Sabbath time. And it got me thinking, of course, of why do I tend to not stop on my own? What tends to happen when I don't? And of course, how can I then take a break? And so I hope that as I express to you these five tips, that maybe you can also analyze where you're at. You might be at the beginning of a season of busyness. You might be at the end of that season. You might be in the middle. But hopefully these tips will help you just to think through what God is saying to you. And perhaps this is a time for you as well to enter His Sabbath rest. And by the way, speaking of that, actually I'm going to read to you the verse that speaks of Sabbath rest. Because this verse, as you know, the whole idea of Sabbath and rest is not man's idea. You know, it is God's idea that you and I rest. And so I want to read to you out of Genesis chapter 1, just the very beginning of life, the very beginning of everything that we know. So then finally, after all of that, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now, let me pause there. Things were not finished, right? God could still say, well, now I have to fix things. Things could go wrong. I need to make sure that the angels are in place. I need to make sure that we have plan B and plan C and a protocol for when the cows need to be milked or when the universe begin to, I don't know, expand. And is that going to be too much? Or the point is that there is always work to be done. Even God could have just focused for the next 10 years on work. And yet, in spite of that, here's what he says. Verse 1, once again, chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And that word rest is the word Sabbath or Shabbat, which means to cease. It means to celebrate. It means, like in the police, like in the cop shows, it says cease and desist. It means to cause, to stop. And I want to use that verse as a backdrop to this, as I give you these five tips, because I guess I want to say to you up front that to rest is divine. To do is of earth. When we overdo things, we're not the best of us. When you overdo things, you're not the best you. But when you learn to rest in God, rest physically, mentally, spiritually, then you will accomplish more than you could ever imagine. So five tips, how to know it's time to take a break. Number one is look at the symptoms, as I said. Look at the symptoms. So as I mentioned, I injured basically my lower abdomen, and I've been sore, and my legs have been weary, actually from working out, which is ironic, right? And that's what happens when you get older. You work out trying to be healthy and fit, and then things happen. Right before this injury, maybe just a couple weeks prior, I was picking up a microwave. No, it wasn't my back, but my neck got just bent out of shape. It's ridiculous, right? What happens to our bodies as we age. I thought, really? But look at the symptoms. Then, of course, as I mentioned, this weekend, these last 3-4 days, I've been just in my head a lot, just more than usual. Just really anxious, thinking that this could be that. And, you know, if you know anxiety, when for me, I have three areas that trigger me, and one of them is physical stuff, and it comes from a lot of early childhood trauma stuff. But whenever I have an injury, I don't just think, oh, okay, I injured my neck. I think I need brain surgery. My pancreas is definitely failing, and my nervous system and my heart. And, you know, it just goes south quickly. Because if you know anxiety, not the typical worrying about tomorrow stuff, but I'm talking about medical and psychological stuff, your brain goes to this really dark place. And so when that happened to me, which happened to me this last week, it kind of triggered me, or it awakened me, or it made me realize where I've been the last month or so. And I've been telling Rochelle, my wife Rochelle, you know, I think it's time for me to stop. But as I said, for most of us doers and world changers and high achievers, unless something happens, we tend to just keep going, right? So look at your symptoms. So the question is simply this. Are there any symptoms that are there that are not usually there for you? Besides the normal aches and pains and things, are there things in your life right now that are happening that you need to just pay attention to? It could be a medical thing, but it might be a spiritual thing. It could be something in your marriage. It might be just something spiritually that God is using to get your attention. It might be a dream. It doesn't have to be a physical thing. It depends on kind of how God usually works in your life. Number two is look at your family and at your marriage. Speaking of your marriage and your family, make sure that you are paying attention to how your love relationships are doing. If you're not married, make sure that you look at how you are responding to relationships and to love, and where are you at emotionally. So for me, this last month, my wife, also Rochelle, has had a very, very difficult start to the year. You know, she's a vice principal, and this is, what, September? So it's only been 4 or 5 weeks since she started her year, but there have been some heavy stuff that she's been dealing with. And so last week, we just sort of got real with each other, and we said, you know, we really have been, I don't know, stressing over work a lot. Me with church and her with school. And we haven't been connecting as much as usual. We have our coffee times every morning. We've been doing that for years. But the last, month or so, we've been sort of just basically exhausted. I've been exhausted in the morning. She's been exhausted at night. And so we've been missing each other in the ways that we normally do. And so we looked at that, and that told me, you know, I think it's time to take a break from all the craziness. And I'll give you some tips on kind of how to do that here, but look at your relationships. How is your relationship with your husband, your wife, your kids? Are you expressing any love for them? Are you thankful? Are you connecting at that deep level? If you never had that deep level, of course you can't evaluate it that way, but whatever level you are at, whatever baseline is there for you, are you at that level at least? And if not, or if yes, then that gives you kind of a good sense of what to do next. Number three is make a list of the last 9 months of your life, of all the events and maybe conversations or situations that you've been in that have cost you stress. That even though you've been praying and God is faithful and all the amazing stuff, have there been things, and I like the idea of 9 months, and I'll tell you why here next. Because when you look at kind of what they call a sample size of 9 months, which is long enough, then you can begin to acknowledge to yourself where you've been. As I said, the tendency for most of us doers, achievers, and go, 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 and dreamers, and healers, and all this, is to never acknowledge that we're exhausted. We just keep going. And there's an energy to that, and there's a joy even in that. There's definitely this high, this rush that happens when you are at a high peak level. But we're not machines. You can't stay at that peak level forever without unpeaking, without going into the valley, without going through a self-imposed or God-imposed or life-imposed season of rest. And so make a list of the things. So when I did this, just over the last few days, I had, I don't know, over 18, 20 things that were very significant. You know, beyond the normal going to work and having meetings and preaching sermons, I'm talking about things that I didn't know how to handle. What you want to put on this list are things that you didn't know how to do, that you didn't have an answer to. Because even though you trusted God for that, I don't know about you, but when I don't know what to do or when I feel afraid or mad or concerned, my body tightens up. My shoulders get all tense. I don't sleep as well. I overdo things. So I know my routine. And so when you begin to look back 9 months and you write down the things that where you felt nervous, confused, when you felt almost like out of touch with your body, with your life, with yourself, then you can say to yourself, oh, it makes sense. Now I understand why I'm in this place. And so take inventory of your last 9 months in the three major areas: physically, where your body's at, how's your body feeling? Emotionally, are there things that happen? I mean, I know this family, this one friend of mine who was having nightmares at night, just really demonic, kind of almost very evil type stuff that was attacking her. And that's not ordinary. That's not normal for her. So write those things down. Number four is to take an inventory, as I said, of the last 9 months. And this is different than number three because it's not so much making a list, but it's more about seasons of life. As you know, 9 months is normally the time that it takes to have a child, to have a baby. Pregnancy is 9 months. The number eight also, as I've been studying different verses in the Bible, is a number of transition. It's a number where something ended and a new thing is coming. For example, in terms of the days of a week, even though we often say 7 days is a week, in reality, the patterns or the rhythms of a week happen every 8 days. So in Spanish, for example, we'll often say, I'll see you in 8 days, en ocho días. Or we'll say, from here, 8 days forward. And so anytime these things happen where you're at a 9 month season, or you could call it maybe the eighth month or the eighth week of something, or even when it comes to Sabbath. Obviously, God rested on the seventh day. So ask yourself, am I at the seventh month of something and maybe it's time to rest? Am I at the eighth week of something, at the eighth year, at the ninth year? All of these markers and seasons are very important to take to pay attention to. If you think in the Bible, it says that God told David to stop and worship every six steps. As I read in Genesis 1, God rested on the seventh day. There's another one that I'm thinking of that I just forgot, but it's, oh yeah, the seven cows that were skinny cows and the seven fat cows. That whole thing, I believe it was in Genesis, it's the idea of having seven good years, or I guess seven bad years, and then seven good years. And then guess what happens? And you go back to 7 years, seven bad years. The point is that life has its seasons. What season are you in? Are you on year one, three, five? Are you at the end of the seventh of this 7 year span, meaning something is ending and start, and something new is starting? And remember that even though we all are into the brand new thing, that the transition from A to B is normally one of rest, where you need to rest, where you need to stop and worship, and to avoid just simply pushing through that transition into the next thing. So look at the numbers in your life, the markers, especially, as I said, around the number 7, 8, 9. Number 5 is realize that there's still a long way to go. There's still a long way to go for you. The road to victory in your life is long. The reason why resting is important right now is because God wants you to be strong for the next season. What happens to most of us is that we want to keep going because we think that we have to get to the finish line. But unfortunately, there is no finish line, right? You will never have your kids be completely happy. You will never fix your body 100%. You will never have your business be at a you know, just over an overabundance right away. Things take time. Things take a lifetime. And so you have to realize, as my friend used to always tell me, that life is not a race. It is a marathon. And I know that for you and for me, that is the hardest thing to hear. Because we think, heck no, it is a race and I'm going to win that race, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that just me? But if you are a high achiever and a doer, not a beer, meaning a human doing, not a human being, you need to realize that the road is long, that there is still a long way to go. So in my life, in my case, God has given me certain numbers and certain seasons where he said to me, David, there's still a long way to go. You're not going to accomplish this one thing that I've been praying for tomorrow or next week. You need to trust me. And so the reason why it's important that you pause and reflect right now is because there's still a long way to go. So think about that in your life. Don't be in such a hurry to get to be done with the next season, to get there right away. For example, if you're a young person, I speak to a lot of young people that are maybe in their first, second year of college or their high school seniors, and they're looking at the next 4 years. Give yourself time. You're not going to figure out your next 20 years in the next 2 days. Leave room for God to do what he's going to do. Remember, God is in the road ahead. He is there actually with you. You don't have to figure it all out. And then the last thing is ask yourself, this is the sixth tip, I guess, this is the bonus round. Ask yourself, why am I doing so much? Why am I in such a rush to do everything? On the surface, you might think, if you're like me, you'll say, well, because there's a need, or because I want to help people, or because I want to graduate from school, or because I want to accomplish my goals, right? But I always ask myself, when I get to these times of exhaustion and break and pause, I always ask myself, why am I pushing so hard? What is going on inside of me? And so, as you know, I'm a psychology junkie. I love to learn about personality types, and obviously always go to the scripture and have a lot of self-awareness and pray and all these things. And so I've realized that for many reasons, my achieving is often based on shame. I'm an Enneagram 3, and if you know about the Enneagram, then you kind of know what I'm talking about. If not, just type in enneagraminstitute.com, Enneagram Institute. It's a spiritual test that describes kind of your tendencies, your habits, your virtues, your vices. It's a very powerful tool. I've been studying it for years, maybe 10 years. And I've realized that as a 3, which is the achiever in the Enneagram, our vice or our motivation often is shame. And so I've been realizing that I've been dealing with a ton of shame lately. Shame means where you feel like you're not measuring up to some standard. And I'll tell you, here's some of the things that I'm doing to kind of alleviate that or to work through that. But you need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why do I feel like I have to go to the best university? Why do I feel like I have to get out of debt so quickly? What am I behind the scenes? Of course, on the surface, these things make sense. But behind the scenes, why am I pushing so hard? Why is there such a desperate feeling? And therefore, why am I getting sick? Or why am I feeling depressed or anxious or nervous or et cetera? Ask yourself, what's going on? Now, if you do not know what's going on, because, you know, it's really difficult to be self-aware. If you don't know what's going on, this is a great time for you to see someone that you love or someone that loves you, a therapist, a spiritual director, a pastor. You might want to go online, and if you know kind of what to do and what you're doing, is learn about the Enneagram or the MBTI, or if you just simply want to just do it on your own, which I don't advise, you may want to just reflect for a season, or maybe just even for an hour a day for 11 days or 8 days, to use some of our previous tips. And ask God, Lord, what is going on behind the scenes? Yes, I want to finish school. Yes, I want to graduate on time. Yes, I want to fix my marriage. Yes, I need more money. Okay, I get that. But behind the scenes, what is going on? So I want to just wrap up with some of the things that I'm doing. First of all, I'm reading a book called The Soul of Shame, which doesn't sound very fun, but it's actually been life-giving. Number two is I'm going to stop recording this daily podcast just for this week. I'm going to take a break from it, as well as my daily vlog, even though I want to do it, but I know I need to step back. Number three, I'm going to be on a spiritual retreat. Just over the next few weeks, I'm going to take some time here and there just to pray and to take a break from the routine. And then the last thing is I'm going to take a break from the major things that I tend to do all the time, whether it's working out every day or preaching at every event, or, you know, some of the things that I love to do. I know that I need to just take a little break, like 1 or 2 days off from the normal routine, to catch my breath and to be ready for the road ahead. My prayer for you today is that you will make a list of what you need to do to rest, basically. To enter God's rest. Remember that there is joy on the other side of this rest. This is not forever. And you might not be where I'm at. Obviously, this is just my story. But if you aren't at that place where you need to rest, you might be at a time where you need to push. You've been resting too long. Then save this episode, so that God can use it in your life soon. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time. Adios.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.